Welcome to Politicon 2017. My name is Chris Gore, sometimes known as That Chris Gore. I'm often asked, am I related to Al Gore? I am not, but I did meet him once at the Sundance Film Festival. We each had our badges on, we're at some small party, and Al Gore comes up to me and he says, hey, cuz.
So, yeah, sure he did.
So it's possible. It's possible that we're related. I'm excited to present to you the Film Threat podcast here at Politicon. I'm so excited. I'm an attendee, actually, of Politicon last year. And truth be told, the main reason I'm putting on this panel is so that I can get a free badge to Politicon. So I'm just being honest. That's what you can expect from me. Truth and honesty. So we're about to do a special edition of the Film Threat podcast, mixing politics and movies, called All the President's Movies. And I'm very excited to introduce our panel. To my right, Charles de Lazarica, filmmaker extraordinaire. You guys, if you know about the Blade Runner Final Cut, this is the man who produced it, and among other amazing documentaries on DVDs. And what else can you add, Charlie, that I haven't?
I'm mostly known for my DVD behind-the-scenes documentaries. Alien Anthology, Black Hawk Down, Transformers movies, some Bond, some Spider-Man, just like little bits of cool movies here and there. And I directed my first feature a while ago called Crave with Ron Perlman, Edward Furlong, Josh Lawson.
Well, I forgive you for Transformers.
I had nothing to do with it, just the DVD.
Also to my right, Carly Baker. Carly's an actress, a writer, also voice actor. You might have heard her in Robot Chicken. And you have a lengthy IMDb credits. I'd say longer than Trump, actually, when you look. The IMDb is longer. Would you say that's accurate, Carly?
Yeah, except for I wasn't in Home Alone 2, so that was a big thing that he's got over me.
You missed your calling.
Yes, this is true.
And also, Tommy Bechtel is joining us, comedian, improv artist. You've seen him on ABC's The Middle, also on Jimmy Kimmel Live, in many segments related to Star Wars. Right, Tommy?
Yes, Star Wars, and computer hackers. Basically, anytime they need an overweight nerd, James Kimmel calls me.
I was just telling Carly this morning that you were on the Harrison Ford episode where
I
you
can't wait to see that.
Dressed as Princess Leia with the hair buns and everything.
Yes, don't show children, but you can find that on YouTube.
And that's actually one of the things that Tommy and I also have in common is having dressed in Slave Leia outfits where the photos went viral. So if you want to burn your eyes, you can just Google Chris Gore Slave Leia outfit. I don't recommend it. But what I'm saying is it lives on the internet along with Tommy, so we have that in common.
Yes,
but what's interesting about all of us, because we're film nerds and work in the industry, but we also care deeply about politics, so our conversations about politics and movies tend to intersect. And in fact, you know, we just returned from Comic-Con in San Diego, and certainly politics was also part of our conversation, along with Marvel movies and Star Wars and all stuff nerdy. So I'm excited to have you guys on the panel here with me. So let's get to know the panelists. Like, I want to ask, are movies about presidents kind of a genre unto themselves? Because there are so many movies that involve the presidents and the presidency. What do you think about that? I mean, there's so many. If you just look up president movies, list, like, you know, going back to, you know, early history of film.
Now, are we talking about fictional presidents, or are we talking about, like, biopics, about actual
Well,
presidents,
just fictional or? Presidents, for sure. I mean, like, there's so many, and it's kind of the dream of actors, right, to play the president at some point in their career. Kind of a cool thing to live that fantasy, like, president fantasy camp in front of the cameras, right? So
yeah,
is it
unless you're an asshole president, like Billy Bob Thornton, the president in Love Actually, where he was just, like, such a lecherous goon, you know? And so I feel like that would not be a dream. Well, maybe it was a dream for Billy Bob Thornton. I don't know, but There's a difference between like a badass president and like someone that you don't want to be the president.
Also, sometimes they make like a spectacle out of it. Like I remember being a kid and when Deep Impact came out, they're like, "Can you believe we have a black president in this movie? This is science fiction. Oh my god!" I was like, so for me that was more like the fact that they thought they were doing something crazy with that move was distracting. Like, it should have just been like, yeah, Morgan Freeman, I would love for him to be the president. He can fly his own planes. He's got a great voice.
Which are the only two qualities that we want in a president.
That's all you need for my vote.
Yeah, perfect.
There isn't a lot of nuance in movie presidents, fictional movie presidents, because they're either really good and heroic, like, say, in Air Force One or Independence Day, or they're incompetent or have a serious weakness, like say in Dr. Strangelove. So it's kind of like there's not a lot of gray area when it comes to movie, like fictional movie presidents. I can't think of one. Can you guys think of a nuanced fictional president?
American president, right? Michael Douglas. That was kind of a...
But he was still a nice guy.
He was a really good guy, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
But Hollywood I would say Hollywood is obsessed with presidents. Is that accurate to say? Kind of like, I mean, it definitely impacts, I believe that definitely a presidency impacts art, clearly, right? But and certainly in Hollywood. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's very reactive, I think. Every administration has, in its own way, influenced all art, music, movies, television, and it's always a reaction to the president that's currently in charge. So that goes without saying. I mean, I think that's an automatic byproduct.
But I think what's interesting is we have yet to see how the Trump administration will impact Hollywood's portrayal of presidents.
It's going to be great. Right. I think it's going to be a really positive portrayal.
Well, then I should just ask you guys, what's your favorite film centered around the presidency? Do you have a favorite movie that sort of centers around the president?
Mine isn't a movie. Mine's a fantastic television show called House of Cards.
Oh, yes.
Which is just, it's such an amazing kind of quote-unquote fictional look into like the smarmy underbelly of politics. And it's been really shocking, especially the last season, to see how much this fictional take is being mirrored in the real world. It's kind of scary.
Well, what's weird is that show just seemed, I mean, by second, third season, I'm like, this show's jumped the shark. This is ridiculous. This is so unbelievable that things in this show could happen. And then reality set in, and crazy, weird, insane things can happen around the presidency. I would say for myself, 13 Days, I think, is one of my favorites, mainly because of Bruce Greenwood's performance. It's about the Cuba Missile Crisis. Bruce Greenwood plays, of course, JFK. And Kevin Costner is an aide who has the worst Boston accent. That, I'm sorry, Kevin Costner...
Kevin Costner did a bad accent in the movie.
But if you just cut Kevin Costner out of that movie, I think 13 Days is a really good movie. What about yourself, Charlie?
I mean, it's not about a president, but there's a president at the center of it, and I already mentioned it's Dr. Strangelove, because I'm a huge Stanley Kubrick fan, and I think that film, first of all, is hilarious. It's really funny, and it's also really scary, but it's so beautifully made, incredible performances, incredible actors, and if you haven't seen it, I highly suggest it, because it's very relevant even today. Even if it came out in 64, I want to say. It was like right after the JFK assassination, because they had actually changed the movie a bit because of JFK's assassination. So that, to me, is like one of Kubrick's like top three masterpieces, I think. And it's dark as hell, but really, really funny.
Tommy, what your favorite film centered around the presidency?
This was really I was looking most forward to this moment because for the last couple of years, I've had to vehemently defend that I like the movie Lincoln because I've fallen asleep watching it so many times. They're like, you can't possibly like it, you keep falling asleep during it. I just keep watching it at bad times, but I love it. I think it's a really good movie. I think Daniel Day-Lewis is awesome as Lincoln in it, and all the supporting characters. Tommy Lee Jones is amazing. So I like Lincoln, and I want that recorded forever. I want people to know that just because I fell asleep, maybe I needed a nap. I don't know. I also really like Primary Colors. I know it gets knocked around a lot, but I thought it was a good movie. It kept my interest. I really liked it. that was about a fictional president. So I think that was a good example of kind of a weird middling. It was a candidate. Was he? I don't know. God, it was a long time ago. But yeah, I enjoy primary colors as well.
Okay, now another question for our panel. Favorite actor to portray a president? I have my own, and I think it's more relevant now than ever, which is Terry Crews as President Camacho in Mike Judge's Idiocracy. Is one of my favorite, like, bizarro, this is the President of the United States? This is not, I mean, I don't know, and I also love Terry Crews as an actor. I just think that he's just, he doesn't do subtlety. I mean, he's over the top, engaging, funny, likable. So, Idiocracy, I think, more relevant now than ever. But favorite actor to portray a president? And maybe I should say you can't say Morgan Freeman because he's so good. But your favorite actor?
I mean, I have a few. I love Kevin Klein and Dave. Although he's not playing, the best part of him is not playing the president. He's playing Dave Kovic, who's playing the president. Just because he's so likable and he's like just an everyman, just a down-to-earth guy that we all wish we could be in some way in that situation so we might be able to do some good. But I love that film. And I hate to say it because it's kind of a cheesy film, but I think Bill Pullman in Independence Day is a great movie president. I mean, he's kind of like that kick-ass hero that you kind of wish a president could be when aliens attack the Earth. So I like that that performance quite a bit.
And that is coming. Aliens are going to attack the Earth.
And that's sure and the big speech he gives, the big rallying cry speech to unite everybody, let's go, you know, kick alien butt is. I mean, we listened to it on the car on the way over here, and I had chills just driving listening to that speech. So it's there's like a lot of really good movie presidents, but there's, again, I go back to it's usually the extreme. It's usually a really great president or a really bad president that is interesting.
Cool, Carly.
Well, continuing the trend of badass presidents, it has to be Harrison Ford in Air Force One because there never was a more badass fictional president. And he's the president that I think our country needs right now, more than ever.
Breaking necks with airplane seat belts, Harrison Ford.
Yeah, that's all we need.
Well, my two were named already, so I'm going to wing it. I love Bill Pullman in Independence Day. Harrison Ford is amazing in Air Force One. I like Aaron Eckhart in Olympus Has Fallen. I do. I think he's, I mean, like, that movie, you say what you want about it, but it's an interesting kind of, like, I like the dynamic between him and Gerard Butler is, like, yeah, this guy chose to save Aaron Eckhart's life over Aaron Eckhart's wife because Aaron Eckhart was the president, and now they have to work together again. I don't know. I liked him in that movie better than his portrayal of Two-Face, I would say. Yeah, it was my favorite Aaron Eckhart performance.
So let's talk about all the president's movies. For me, movies have changed my life. I'm sure we've all had the experience of seeing a film that changed your opinion about something, whether it was a documentary, a narrative film. I think film is a gateway to a conversation about anything. It can be a conversation about relationships, sex, love, life, choices that we make. So I think that movies, and especially a president's taste in movies, I think is revealing in the sense that it might give you some insight into the type of person that president is. So I don't know, as just a lifelong film fan, I've been also obsessed with the idea that the president gets to watch free movies at the screening room in the White House. So I'm not sure how many of you know a lot about the White House screening room. The first movie screened at the White House screening room, which is actually in the presidential mansion at the time, was D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation to Woodrow Wilson in 1915. And then they built this family theater in 1942. You can look up Google Images and you can see pictures of this theater. It kind of looks like an IPIC theater. It only seats about 42 people. So it's smallish, but the seats look very comfortable. It's also a room that is often used by presidents to rehearse speeches. So they'll go into that room and practice an upcoming speech. It's interesting also that Bill Clinton commented that one of the perks of the presidency wasn't Air Force One, it was the White House screening room. And the idea that a president could just call a Hollywood studio and say, I want to see this movie. I'd like to see The Force Awakens. I'm sure that's not how the, that's not one of the, that's not the president. That's my, I'm sorry, that's my imitation of an aide calling a Hollywood studio to get Force. It might be, okay, that's an imitation of myself when I talk about nerdy things. But I, so this idea of the White House screening room has fascinated me as a kid, just being a film fan and following every presidential campaign since I was little, and then being able to vote as soon as I could when I was 18. So what, how I want to launch into this conversation is, I want to name a movie, and we'll guess what president said this was their favorite movie. Okay, there are going to be some clues, obviously, by the years and whatnot, but you can really, I think it's really fascinating to listen to, like, this was a movie, and it was this president's favorite movie, and I just find that really fascinating. So we're going to be jumping around. The first one I'm going to say is Yankee Doodle Dandy. Any idea what president's favorite movie was? Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great film, Yankee Doodle Dandy. I've never seen it, but I love the song that goes along with it. Sang in kindergarten for a recital. Got a standing ovation, so fond memories. I'm going to say John Quincy Adams, final answer.
Since movies were not invented at that time.
Okay, I take it back. On final answer, I'm going to phone a friend. My battery's dead. I'm not going to phone a friend.
If I give you his sort of two favorite movies, I give you the second one, you're going to get it immediately. It's the second film is Patton.
Yankee Doodle Dandy, Patton.
Yeah, very extreme films, right?
For the same president.
Yes. Any idea?
Any guesses out there?
I'll bet someone out here knows. Yeah.
Ike?
Incorrect.
Reagan.
I think
Reagan is a good
guess. You're getting warmer, though, I think.
You're getting warmer. Keep going. What'd you say?
Nixon. Yep.
Nixon is the correct answer. Ding, 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 ding.
Yankee Doodle Man.
So,
good to know.
Interesting about that, they say that, Nixon was obsessed with that movie to the point where his aide said, what are you, like a publicist for this movie? You keep talking about Patton. You're kind of obsessed with it, but I think you can see why Nixon liked that film. I mean, you know, an embattled general, you know, just the patriotic imagery, that George C. Scott imagery of him giving the speech against this enormous American flag. I mean, that's Nixon all the way, right? So.
Yeah, we learned a lot from that one.
Okay, I'll name another one. This is interesting. Mickey Mouse. You just said Mickey Mouse.
All of them.
You just answered Mickey Mouse?
Well, one of the presidents said, Mickey Mouse is my favorite.
As a child?
No, I inserted the high-pitched voice.
I'm going to guess Harry Truman.
I mean, we'd have to guess this is during, like, the Disney shorts, like the old Mickey Mouse shorts, yeah. Not modern day.
Right.
So Truman's not a terrible guess.
FDR.
That's correct. Oh. Yes, FDR. FDR was a big Mickey Mouse fan, enjoyed watching Mickey Mouse cartoons while in office. So I think that's really...
That reminds me of Steven Spielberg's movie, 1941. I don't know if anyone here has seen it. But in it, Robert Stack plays a general, General Stilwell, who takes time out from a imagined attack on Los Angeles on like December 8th or December 9th, 1941. And he goes to see Dumbo. And he spends, like, there's riots in the streets, there's gunfire going up into the sky, and he's watching Dumbo and in tears, like, because he's like a little boy again, a little child. And I love that moment. So when I think of FDR watching Mickey Mouse, I imagine Robert Stack in 1941.
Especially with what was, you know, happening during his presidency, that was, I'm sure, a welcome escape. So let me get into it now. Well, I think you mentioned it earlier, Home Alone, Gerald Ford. Right, Carly, you gave that one away.
I was talking about Home Alone 2.
Oh, darn! I blew it. So Gerald Ford's favorite movie is Home Alone. How does that make sense? But, well, it actually does make
sense.
But it he was well out of the presidency when...
That's Home just Alone as my out. Research turns this up. My research turned up that is his on-record favorite.
I would say, like, if you were president, you had lived in the White House, and then you saw Home Alone, you would just fantasize about all the ways you could take the wet bandits out.
The booby traps that you can put in the White House.
And it's like a painting of Eisenhower falls down on top of Daniel Stern, and takes a bald eagle to the face.
All right, how about another one here? Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams.
I'm gonna make a logical guess at this, if not a joke. Field of Dreams, baseball movie, George W. Bush, former owner of the Texas Rangers.
That is correct. That is correct.
Thank you.
He was
a big
fan of that film, in addition to other films such as We Were Soldiers and Black Hawk Down. So, kind of fascinating there. What would you guess is the president that watched the most movies in the White House screening room? There is a president that, on record, watched 480 screenings in the White House screening room during his presidency.
Was this a four-year or an eight-year term?
That makes it even better, actually.
Yeah, actually, it was a four-year term.
Wow.
Four-year term president.
Wow, so somebody was not presidenting very much.
Four-year term president watched during his term 480 movies.
So he was like, he's a nice guy because he likes movies, but he's very ineffectual.
Right,
so
keep going.
A nice guy, he's ineffectual. You want snacks when you're watching movies, so not popcorn, maybe peanuts.
Keep going. I see where you're going with this.
Jimmy Carter.
That is correct. Jimmy
because
Carter.
I saw it on your paper. Over
don't
your hear,
yes, there's no cheating in this, but it's. Yeah, Jimmy Carter, also, he counts as his favorite films, All the President's Men. And interestingly, the first president to watch an X-rated movie at the White House. wait.
That was like 350 out of the 400 some movies.
Everybody out of the screening theater.
Wait for it. This is.
But you have to say it's an Oscar. Nominated.
An Oscar nominated X-rated film, which, yeah, you know. It's
somebody guess. Who knows it? Midnight Cowboy, that's right.
Midnight Cowboy, but Midnight Cowboy, at the time that Midnight Cowboy was rated X, the MPAA, the rating system, was testing different types of ratings, right? I mean, the X rating was really the over 18 only, right? So they were testing out, it was PG-13, was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, prompted a new rating. So really, I think the X rating, after it came out by the MPAA, was co-opted by the adult film industry. It really wasn't. X was not intended to be for pornographic films. The X-rated industry, in their infinite, you know, wisdom and marketing, said, our movies aren't just X, they're triple X. And that's when triple X films were created, right after the X rating came out. And then the X rating was just tainted, and the MPAA stopped using it. So, but at the time that Carter saw Midnight Cowboy in the White House screening room, he saw the first X-rated film. Okay, I'm going to hold my sheet this way.
I'm going to bet not the last X-rated film seen.
How do you schedule one of those? There's like a lot of moving parts. I feel like that would be a lot of people that would know what you're up to. So
there's got to be
really committed to that concept.
There's got to be someone in the White House that has a tainted history in their browser. That just has to exist. In my mind's eye, I'm just imagining that has to exist.
But that means there's like 100 people that know about it and everybody has to keep their mouth shut. You know, it's like there's so many people that know exactly what kind of weird porn the president is watching and they all just have to pretend like it's not happening because he's the president.
Well,
that would be a great film. That would be a wonderful, wonderful film. I would watch that over and over again.
The president's browsing history?
Yeah, just about all the people that, like, all the dirty things you find out about the president. You've just got to keep it to yourself. So, there you go, America.
Well, I mean, who knows, 10, 20 years from now, we could be doing a panel here at Politicon on all the president's porn collection. I think that could actually be a real thing. Based on the way we're seeing America,
I mean,
go.
The White House could be sponsored by Pornhub by 2037.
Or have branding on it like every sports stadium, right? I mean, some...
The Red Bull White House.
Yeah, I mean, some sports fans, it's sacrilege to have the Citibank, whatever, you know. And then there's cases where sports fans won't refer to the stadium by the new branded name, which those teams get so much money for. So, okay, moving right along. I'll name some movies. You guys could probably guess the president from this. I'm gonna start with It's a Wonderful Life. This president names as one of his favorite films, It's a Wonderful Life.
That seems kind of Reagan-y.
Yeah,
me.
I was gonna guess Reagan too.
It is Reagan.
I didn't look this time, I promise. Yeah.
So. I'm guessing Ronald Reagan.
Yes, yeah, you did. You guessed too late. But Ronald Reagan also lists as favorite films High Noon, The Sound of Music, and he enjoyed watching his own movies with Nancy. They would watch films. So I don't know. I find that fascinating.
I think that's such a weird thing as an actor.
Really,
like, I never want to watch anything that I've ever been in because it's like the most excruciating, terrible thing that you can do.
On your little fact list, I think I saw was it LBJ who watched like this documentary about himself over and over and over again? Is that true?
Yes. Well, LBJ did not like movies. He was not a big film fan. So LBJ, actually, the movie that he watched over and over, this is absolutely true, is a 28-minute documentary about himself. What's the name of this film? I have it here somewhere. But Gregory Peck narrated it. It was only 28 minutes, and he used to request that it be shown in his office so he could just watch it over and over. But technically, he didn't count himself as a film fan at all. So that's kind of weird. And oddly, the movie was never released.
It was never
released. So, okay, here's another one. Here's another one I find really interesting is, let's see. If I say that, I'll give it away.
I'll give it
that,
away.
That whole, I can read it now. The whole thing gives it away.
Exactly.
Just talk about it.
Dr. No. Ooh. Dr. No counts as one of his favorites. But not just favorite film. Favorite character is James Bond. And,
you guys know,
any
right?
guess? You guys have to have a guess.
Think about it. Bond came out of the spy age of the Cold War, and no, you're getting closer. You're one off. Other way. Yeah.
JFK actually was a big James Bond fan, also a John Wayne fan, and he was reading the day that JFK was assassinated, he was reading one of the James Bond novels.
He liked the ladies.
Yes.
Just like James Bond.
Yes.
I can see JFK kind of fashioning himself as like the Bond of presidents, for sure.
I find it interesting. He was such a fan of James Bond that he was also reading the books. So when did he have time?
Well, I think that's the story. It's like he had a back problem and he was kind of laid up for a while, so he started reading books and he started reading the Fleming books and just got into Bond that way.
Someday when I'm president, they'll say he was reading Harry Potter and watching Harry Potter the same day the aliens landed.
Okay.
Here's
one I think if I just threw this out, I would never be able to guess it. Viva Zapata is the film and listed as one of his favorites. So
I don't know this film, so I'm out.
Yeah.
You're tapping out. Okay, Viva Zapata. Anybody care to guess the president?
What is this film?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't even know.
I have not seen it in years.
George Bush?
That is correct.
Which one?
It's George, yes. Herbert Walker, that is correct. Also, he enjoyed The Longest Day.
I enjoyed Long Days as well.
Okay, another one. Casablanca counts as one of his favorites.
All of them.
Yes.
That's actually kind of true. There are certain movies that like a lot of presidents loved. Like that's on every list has Casablanca, has
High Noon.
Right.
Was really interesting when I was doing a little bit of research. High Noon was like eight different presidents' favorite movie or a movie that they watched all the time. And so I watched it this morning because I wanted to know what was so special about this film. And I thought it was really interesting because we were talking about it a little bit, that it's kind of like, yes, it's a Western, it's kind of about a simpler community in a simpler time, and I'm sure something about that is very attractive when you're the leader of the free world, but also the idea of like one man that has to be alone and stand up for what's right and save everyone and, you know, puts his personal life and everything that he loves at risk because he has to do the right moral thing. That obviously that's something that strikes a chord with a lot of these presidents because they probably see, you know, the parallels to the office that they've chosen to hold. And then at the end where he gets to, you know, he saves the town and he just gets to turn around and walk away. That's probably also very attractive when you're in the middle of the presidency to be able to think about the day that you can do that as well.
Well, I do think it's interesting, you know, some theorize that Nixon, he was so inspired by Patton, it just, it actually, after days after seeing it, there were more bombings in Vietnam, and they actually say that it kind of influenced his decision making. Like, yeah, I'm going to be a badass after watching this badass movie that now I'm obsessed with. So, I mean, I think we've all had experiences where we've seen films, and then it's like, yeah, I don't recommend watching any of the Fast and Furious movies and then getting in LA traffic. I think it's a horrible influence. So don't do that. But I do think that movies have the power to influence our thinking. So
also, I thought it was interesting when you mentioned that George W. Bush liked Black Hawk Down so much, because you would think that film is an escape. You'd want to get away from the headaches of the day. And Black Hawk Down being one of the first important post 9/11 movies, I believe, would either inform or give him some comfort or something. That's a very interesting pick for him. And I'm not sure what do you think about that? Like, why would you watch Black Hawk Down when you're dealing with that on a daily basis in a different form in a different country, but you're still dealing with, you know, American troops in harm's way?
But I mean, I think movies, especially war films, tend to be therapeutic, right? Don't they? I mean, like for a nation, I mean, when you see, although I think we're seeing like historical events and movies now are just, they're so short in distance. We've already heard, I'm not sure if you're aware, that the television show American Horror Story announced that their upcoming season is going to be about the last election. So I don't know how they're gonna turn it into a horror story.
Wait, what?
I mean, there's different approaches, and also, who knows, right? But I think that especially war films are therapeutic for a country. I think the problem after 9/11 were there were too many 9/11 movies too soon. It definitely was too soon, and I think audiences reacted negatively. None of those films did particularly well at the box office. So,
I mean, they made a movie about George W. Bush while he was still president, right? I mean, W came out in like 2007 or 2006. That's so real time.
Yeah, it's almost a little too soon. But then, you know, look, we're still having films made about World War II. I mean, Dunkirk came out, you know, a few weeks ago. And so I still think that there are aspects of those wars where there are lessons that have not been learned.
But I think that, to your point, that's like a therapeutic, not therapeutic necessarily, but like you watch that movie and you learn something that was far enough away, exactly what you're saying, and there is kind of a, not a, you know, happy ending. On a positive note, so it's like life went on after that. If you make something so recent, like if they're doing an American Horror Story about the election, we don't know what's going to happen in the next few years, you know, so it's a little too close because the future is so uncertain for everyone, obviously.
But back to Casablanca, which I guess you mentioned. Wait, I want you to get, but interesting point that it's a lot of people's favorite movies, or a lot of, you know, just in film history, it's such a significant film. But if anybody care to guess from our audience who names Casablanca as one of their favorites,
are there more than one? There's
more than one on the list. High Noon is also on the list, another classic. But anyone?
Well, I think we kind of know. You guys should guess.
Yeah. Anyone? I'll say Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton.
Good guess.
Yeah, Bill Clinton, who was such a huge fan of movies. He once appeared on Roger Ebert's movie review show as a guest critic. And I'm sure you can find that on YouTube. I believe he reviewed Fight Club.
Are you serious?
Really? Yeah, yeah. That was on the episode. Yeah, I know. Weird,
now.
Right?
It's ridiculous.
Weird. So.
You know what's interesting about all these picks to me is they're so safe and conventional. They're all great movies. They're movies that it's hard to argue against them being good movies, but they're so middle of the road, which is like such a politician thing to do, I think, is to have pick a safe movie that's not going to be controversial, except for Jimmy Carter watching Midnight Cowboy. But I feel like these are such, like, I mean, they're great movies. They're just middle of the road. Everyone loves them. No controversy. It's really interesting.
Okay, so moving on, I'm going to start naming these movies and see if you guys can guess. Okay, Citizen Kane, another classic. Gone with the Wind. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. The Godfather. Goodfellas. Who has named these movies, some of them with, you know, characters that are morally ambiguous, some of them involving mobsters? What president might like those kinds of movies? Anyone care to guess? Shout it out, please. What? What president might love these kinds of films? Anyone? Wait, say it really loud.
President Donald Trump.
Absolutely correct. Donald Trump lists these among his favorite movies. So I don't know, I think that makes total sense. So.
I mean, I gotta give him a nod. At least he went with a contemporary, or, well, Goodfellas is 20 years old now or more, but, like, at least he went with something a little current, more current. Like, a lot of the other choices seem to have been, like, movies that came out in the 40s and 50s. So I applaud his Goodfellas taste.
I mean, he actually has some of the more interesting picks. I think those are actually really good movies. I mean, I would never guess he would pick Citizen Kane, and that's considered the greatest film of all time by many critics. Good and the Bad and the Ugly, awesome westerns. Like, I mean, I can't fault his movie taste and based on that list.
And what's interesting now, I mean, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Citizen Kane. It's a movie I watch once a year. If you can find the DVD, there's an amazing commentary by Roger Ebert on that. It's like taking a class in that film. And actually, I think looking at the character of William Foster Kane, it's so much kind of like
Charles Foster
Kane. Yeah. Charles Foster Kane. It's I can see why Trump would identify with that film, because he inherits all this money, right? He's sort of like a prison of his own making. It just seems
Trump Tower is Xanadu.
Yes, in a way, right? Everything's opulent and gold and whatnot. Like, there's so much for him to identify in Citizen Kane. I highly recommend a rewatching of that film if you have an opportunity. Perhaps that can offer some insight. So now I'm going to name off a couple other films, see if you can guess this president. Godfather Part 1 and Part 2.
But not Part 3.
Yes, which I think shows good taste. I think this president has very good taste to choose the first two and leave unmentioned Part 3. And Lawrence of Arabia and Casablanca also rank high with this president. So these are classic films. Care to guess? What? Obama is correct. Obama also, not just a film fan, Obama legit nerd. I mean, he is a legit
geek.
Yeah. He is a geek. I think he understands nerds, you know. So
none of these presidents say Star Wars. What's the matter with them?
Well, because isn't that the missile defense program that Ronald Reagan like co-opted the name?
Yeah,
I remember being upset about that as a kid because I was such a fan of the movie. I'm like, Reagan, how could he do that? Now he's turning my favorite movie franchise into a weapon. So I remember being a little upset child.
Wasn't there I might be making this up, and if so, pretend it's a fact. Didn't George W. Bush have a program called Fast and Furious or something like that? Or The Fast and the Furious?
I hope so.
I feel like he had an Operation Fast and Furious or something, like when he like so it was some sort of military.
Well, I think the one thing that the Bushes did really well is naming their wars. They had the best names for wars and missions. Mission, it sounds so badass. I mean, you could make a movie poster from all of those names. I'm sure those names went through marketing departments and were vetted, and you know, a lot of thought went into those names. I mean, as much as like, I do think political parties do have a way of taking the names of things and taking something awful and giving it kind of a cool name. I mean, we've seen that happen quite a bit, right? I think some parties are better than others at naming those things. So
it's kind of fun whenever that other room breaks out in uproarious applause.
Yes, I think it's for us.
It feels like it's validation for our point.
I think it's for us.
Yes, we can hear you all the way in the other hall.
You know, candidates are also asked what, you know, they, when they're on the campaign trail, they run out of questions. And so sometimes candidates are actually asked about their taste in movies. So one of the candidates was asked about their favorite films, and they said Wizard of Oz, Casablanca, and Out of Africa. Any guess as to that candidate for president?
John Kasich.
No.
No.
No, not, wait.
Hillary.
Hillary is correct. Hillary Clinton
is. Oh, that makes total sense. Those are
yes.
Kind of like awesome chick movies.
Exception.
Too, you know?
Didn't have the ruby slippers, so that, I think, cut her chances. So, I've got a couple more on my list. Care to go through
this?
Yes.
I looked it up, and Bill Clinton's review of Fight Club was that it was, quote, quite good. So.
Risky opinion.
Anybody would want to know that.
If you look at Fight Club, and that's also one of the movies that I revisit every once in a while to just see it because it's so powerful. I mean, that film came out before 9/11. It's so radical. I'm shocked that it was made by a major studio.
They're shocked too.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's really about homegrown terrorism. So I just wonder if the panel has any thoughts about Fight Club and the fact that like Clinton was on an episode of Roger Ebert's show where they discussed it. So
I think it's really good.
Quite good.
Quite good. That's
I think quite good is at least a thumbs up. But I'd like to hear your thoughts because that movie resonates to today. I mean, Fight Club is, I mean, they're even now merchandising it with, you know, Tyler Durden action figures and Fight Club soap and whatnot. So I find that fascinating, that those films that stand the test of time.
That movie, for me, I will always love because I was not allowed to see it when it first came out. So when I went to college, I could do whatever I wanted. So I got it on DVD and watched it, and I was like, oh, I see why my parents forbid that. But they wanted to see it in theaters. But I really love that movie. I like the book, too. It's great. I like... I always mispronounce his name. Is it Chuck Palahniuk?
Chuck Palahniuk, yeah, yeah.
I love his books. I think like they always have really great twists in them, and makes really good, well, at least for me, social points in his books through, you know, symbolic characters and whatnot. So I really love Fight Club.
Yeah, I loved it too, but I think I'm guessing we're similar in age, and it was just like we were teenagers when that film came out, and it was just like, you know, all of your teenage angst about how, you know, you're gonna defeat the world kind of was a, you know, it was a fun thing to watch when you're full of hormones and
fighting
angry all the time, you know.
We've got about 10 minutes left, so if anyone has any questions, step up to the mic and ask us. But before, I really want to get into this because I found this really interesting, is that the first movie, and it was widely reported, so I'm sure you already know, that the first film screened at the Family Theater at the White House for Donald Trump was Finding Dory. I think we all know that, right? I just find that interesting, Finding Dory, but did you know what the second film that was requested to be screened at the White House? Do you guys
also know? Finding Dory.
No, oh. No. It was a movie I did not see, and maybe no one in this room saw it, a movie called Why Him with James Franco and Bryan Cranston.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I've seen pieces of this movie on, like, on demand or something, because they were promoting it pretty heavily a few months ago.
I mean, it's sort of a, it looks like a dumb R-rated comedy.
It is, you're correct.
Yes. So, but here's my question. Who, I mean, like, it doesn't seem as if in my research that Trump is particularly interested in movies. He seems, I mean...
So he specifically requested that this movie be played...
I'm not sure if he personally did. I mean, although some presidents have called the MPAA to request films,
maybe
but
it was
it's usually an aide.
Sons or something.
That's exactly
they
what
seem
my
like the target audience for a film like Why Him?
Yeah, it kind of seems like Barron would want to see like this raunchy James Franco comedy. That seems to make sense, right?
I was talking more like Don Jr.
Oh, Don Jr. Oh, right, yeah, Don Jr.
Not the 11-year-old.
I think that would be...
No, I mean, isn't that kind of something of a rite of passage as your first R-rated movie?
Absolutely.
I mean, when you're a kid, whenever you either accidentally see it or parents are gone, you're unsupervised, and you can see an R-rated film. So, I don't know, that was always my thought was, I'm sure he's making those requests.
Do you think that was Donald Trump's first R-rated movie?
It could have been. It could have been.
I like that he picked a real goofball choice there. Like he went Finding Dory, a G-rated Pixar movie, and then he's like, let's go to the extreme, Why Him? Real raunch fest, which I enjoyed. Both films, seen them both. Very different. Don't watch them back to back. A lot of crossover.
Well, if we don't have any questions, can we just get, I want
to... I have a question.
Yes,
if anyone was elected president, what would be the first movie you'd want to see in the White House Theater? To demo it, to like say, oh, I'm going to check out my new theater I'm going to have for the next 4 or 8 years. What movie do you watch first?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. I would say Robert Altman's Nashville, because I haven't seen it in years. And if you have not seen that, I think that film's brilliant, but that's just a personal, what are you guys' thoughts? First movie you'd want to see in the White House?
Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. and I would play it off that I really liked it, and then I would wait and see how many people pretended they liked it too. And if anyone who went along with like, yeah, I agree, this was also great, would immediately be barred from the Pornhub White House.
I think I'd pick that LBJ documentary just to be the only other person that's ever seen it.
Yeah. Yes, sir?
I was wondering when the first movie was shown in the White House, maybe it was a talk, before talk,
I sort of threw that out in the beginning, but the first film actually screened at the White House was Birth of a Nation, D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation, which if you watch it now is... I mean, it's historically important film, but it really is kind of an endorsement for the Ku Klux Klan, so maybe not the best movie to screen at the White House now, and that was in 1915. So, but movies weren't really a big part of the White House. Once that family theater was built in 1942, and the president knew, like, hey, you mean I can just call up and any movie that's playing at the theater, I can just have screen? Because how it's actually used in the marketing of films now. When a president requests a movie, it's actually a good thing. Although I have to say, I don't know like what the studios think about the Trump administration. Because
I was going to say, I didn't hear anything about Why Him being, you know, such a...
And
yeah.
James Franco would like to leave it that way. So, yeah. Yes, sir. Question.
Yeah. What are y'all's favorite television
characters? That's good.
I got to go with Jeb Bartlett from The West Wing, just because he's such a well-written character. He's fully three-dimensional. He's not perfect, but he's trying. You know, and I really appreciate that as a character.
Frank Underwood, I think Frank Underwood on House of Cards. I mean, as ridiculous as it's become, it's therapy now. So I love him. Yeah.
I love both of those, but I've got to concur with Charlie on President Bartlett, because Martin Sheen is the president we don't deserve, but wouldn't it be wonderful if he could be our president?
So, I'm gonna go Ty. Cherry Jones, I think, is the actress's name for 24. The last few seasons of 24, and then Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Veep. which is no longer accurate because now she's the president. But she's great on that show. She's probably my favorite.
Selena Meyer.
But I think in a way it's kind of, you know, casting a president, it's sort of like, it's fantasy, I think, for some creators. Like, this is how I would want the president to be. And then we're faced with reality when they're human. Yes, in the back.
Did any president mention the American president as a movie that they would enjoy?
Not in my research. No president that I saw mentioned the American president. Although I think some presidents would like to be single in the White House. I think that'd be, I mean, I can't imagine what a Tinder profile for a president would look like. I think it would make dating difficult for sure.
How would you initiate the conversation once you mash with somebody?
You up?
Hey, I'm the president. Yeah, you up?
Right, yeah. Selena Myers in Veep, I think, is just fantastic. She's so good in that. I mean, it's just, you know, and in a way, it makes the way that they talk on that show, I said, that's Anthony Scaramucci talks like that every day. So Veep just, is that how people in politics talk all the time? I don't know.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm
going to say probably yes. They're agree. Probably just as vulgar as that. But I do think that Veep takes to a whole new level of cleverness that is just amazing, where I've had to just listen to it back. You know, it's so, the dialogue is so fantastic.
There's something fun about incompetent politicians in comedies or even just fictional movies like Veep or Dr. Strangelove or, say, Escape from New York. But Donald Pleasence is like one of the worst presidents ever. There's just something kind of fun about it, and to see them kind of get their comeuppance, I think that's always enjoyable.
Or Jack Nicholson in Mars Attacks,
right,
Tim
exactly.
Burton's Mars Attacks.
Right.
Yes, sir, in the back.
Yeah, you all were talking about Fight Club, that you're surprised that was a lot earlier also in the 90s. Do you remember when 98 movie The Siege came out 3 years before 9/11 or any kind of Pleasence backlash? Would any of the president have they watched it, and or what do you think of that movie actually coming out before all the events?
Yeah, my research didn't turn up anything about that film in particular.
I remember The Siege pretty well because a bunch of us went to go see The Siege just to see the trailer for The Phantom Menace. And we didn't know then that The Phantom Menace was going to be not so great.
Fantastic movie.
But I remember The Siege being a really competent kind of political thriller. In retrospect, it's really relevant. It's like really, it's probably worth rewatching now because of everything that's happened since.
It definitely gives you a different viewpoint of things now, maybe Marshall Law being
That's right.
And it's interesting you bring that up because I do remember that after 9/11 that there was, they sort of convened a council of screenwriters and creators and filmmakers just to give ideas, right? Do you remember this?
Yeah, like Tom Clancy, I think they talked to just like brainstorming scenarios, right?
Like, yeah,
how
like
how to protect.
Yeah, scenarios under which, you know, things that terrorists might take advantage of, but they reached out to Hollywood, you know, to creative types to say, well, how would terrorists do this? And
and come up with ideas that hadn't been discovered or invented yet. Like what's yet to come? What can we prepare for? Like they have these think tanks with Hollywood, like screenwriters and producers or whatever. Like, how do we prepare for the things we can't even imagine?
And it's interesting because if you read the book Fight Club, they actually go into the formulas for how to make bombs using like common household items. And the publisher did make Palahniuk change a couple of the ingredients. The original draft had exactly how to make bombs, and it was almost like an anarchist cookbook in a way. But he had to change some of the ingredients for the final edition of the book because he really just didn't want to inspire, you know, a real tragedy. So on that note, I want to thank our audience here at Politicon. You guys were great. Thank you so much for participating in our panel. I want to thank our panelists, Charles Lazarica, Carly Baker, Tommy Bechtel. Thank you so much for joining me on here. My name is Chris Gore. I do a website called Film Threat. You can go to filmthreat.com. You can look up the Film Threat podcast. I thank you all for being here, and let's get out of here.